Welcome. This is Love Your Life Now, podcast number 16. My name is Sonia Sophie. I am here today with two of my colleagues, being
Sabine Isayam
and
Christina Sergun Powers.
And today we will be talking about another superfood. We've been talking about superfoods for the last couple of weeks, and today our focus will be on the greens. Yes. I know you've heard about eat your greens. And today we're going to discuss how to eat them, why to eat them, best ways to eat them, and so on and so forth. Anything that comes to our minds, and hopefully we are able to answer a bunch of questions that you might be having about greens. So let's open the discussion. Sabine, Sergun.
Okay. So what are we talking about when we say greens? There's many different vegetables, but let's just start with the green leafy vegetable.
Good.
And I learned this from my microbiotics teacher, and it just stayed with me, and that's how I look at leafy greens. Leafy greens grow out of the ground, and they grow up, and they take in sun energy. So imagine all that sun energy going into the leaves, turning through chlorophyll, turning into pure energy. Through photosynthesis, turning into chlorophyll, and then you get to eat that. And so basically when you eat those leafy greens, you're basically putting sun energy inside your body. So that's how I like to just talk about greens, so that we shift this idea of just eat your greens because you have to. No, it's just bringing that beautiful sun energy into your body, which has such amazing healing power. So what are leafy greens? We have spinach, kale, all the herbs, parsley, cilantro, green onions, bok choy, Swiss chard, collard greens, so many other
the different greens. Cabbages.
And yeah. Does it include the lettuces too, like the romaine?
Yes.
Is that a mm-hmm. different kind of green?
No, lettuces too, absolutely. So, but I would stay away from iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, that's not really.
You know, and if you look at the color also, you realize that it doesn't have the same chlorophyll in there as other greens. So you want to go with darker greens. The darker the greens, the more nutrients they have. So besides the chlorophyll, they're high in vitamin K, high in vitamin C, all kinds of vitamins and macro and micronutrients.
There's this new lettuce that I saw at Trader Joe's. I've been eating it, and it's a round, kind almost like a. There's a purple and a dark green, and they're very small. They're kind of like a sweet lettuce.
That's a good.
Can you talk about that one?
The more color you have in your green, or even if it's purple, the more color you have, the more phytonutrients and. Are in there. So phytonutrients are small chemical compounds other than the vitamins that we already know that are working in your body, and that hasn't been fully explored yet what they all do. But by now it's been proven that, and I mentioned that before in another podcast, that the color itself seems to have an effect on what's happening in your body. So whether that's a dark green or a dark purple, right? The more vibrant the color, the better it is. Mm-hmm. There are things in there, there are compounds in there, even in that color, that are working things in your body on a chemical level that are going to give you better health. And as far as the iceberg lettuce, there are some few other things going on too with the iceberg lettuce. Mm-hmm. I've heard or I've read somewhere that the when you eat it, when you chew it, it doesn't, somehow it's aggravating to your intestines as well.
Okay.
Because of its structure, of its fibrous structure, it's too sharp or something. So they were explaining that. And what I took away from that, I wasn't eating iceberg lettuce anyway because. Yeah. I don't know, to me it's what's the point. But but if that's your main form of greens that you're eating,
right,
then just remember that's not really a form of eating greens. So
yeah.
And so just eat everything but the iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
That has the net word lettuce in it.
And the other thing about the green leafy vegetables is, food energetics. So what we eat is how we are. how we're going to be and how we're going to act. And so if you look at a green leafy vegetable, it's springy, it's going upward, the energy is going up. So if you want to feel that way, you want to have alert, vibrant, creative energy moving up, and you want to be light on your feet, then you would eat these green leafy vegetables. So start relating to green leafy vegetables as a whole experience rather than something you have to do.
And that's very much represented in the yogic diets.
Mm.
So when we do particular cleanses and we want to feel that we're, you know, we're rooted, we're stable, we eat the root vegetables, you know, the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, and there's a whole cleanse of just eating, you know, onions and potatoes and that. And then in the spring, really focusing on the greens. And I, you know, myself, I feel that way too. When I'm really, really hungry and I go, okay, I'm going to eat my green leafy green salad full of onions, green onions, and all of those yummy things that you've taught in your classes, Sabine. I feel so energetic. It's like my energy's going through the roof. And sometimes when I give up to people like you, where this morning, I'm speaking at supersonic speed because the energy is moving through me and there's no caffeine, but it's just that, like you said, food energetics from the leafy greens.
And it's one of the ways to get that energy straight into you versus it having gone through another animal where it has been, again, transformed, because we all know now that everything is energy and energy cannot be lost. It can only be transformed into a different type of energy. And so making sure that we get enough of that purest form of the energy that we can get, which is through the plants, really helps our body, helps with rejuvenation. So eating a lot of greens really helps rejuvenate you and keep you younger on a cellular level as well.
Yeah. And I also want to talk about parsley and cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. They're still green leafy vegetables. I mean, they're also called herbs. But they're super cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they attach themselves to toxins in the body and they release all the toxins out of your body. And another thing with the parsley, if you're feeling congested, you can just boil some parsley in water, like simmer it for 20 minutes on low and drink that liquid. And it will open up your sinuses and your throat and everything. You know, everything starts coming up and out.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like a decongestant.
Yeah. Just something that clears it all out. It pushes everything out.
Yeah.
Clears your whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And cilantro specifically also, it basically takes mercury out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
Even parsley, both of them. That's why when you go to a sushi restaurant, there's always like a spring of green there. It's not for decoration, really. It seems like it is, but it's actually you need to eat that with your fish, with your tuna, to let the mercury come out of your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about how to eat them, right?
Yeah,
since that's kind of where we're going anyway. So one thing, for instance, is that certain things, let's say if you're having low thyroid or you're having Hashimoto's, right? You want to make sure that the brassica, which is the broccoli and those type of cauliflower, those types of things,
cruciferous
greens, all of those, you want to make sure that you only eat them in the cooked or steamed form. You don't want to eat them in the raw form. It's particularly not good for people who are having thyroid issues, and many of us do but aren't aware of it.
Yeah. Can you say the list of it, because you know, folks like me, cruciferous and
so kale, and chard. Well, chard, you know, chard may be kind of on the board, but really the most important ones are kale and broccoli. Those are also the ones, like cauliflower.
Even though it's not green.
Yeah, even though it's not green, but it's related to broccoli. And then the broccolini and the other kind of weird, that looks like a cauliflower broccoli mix, those ones.
Yeah.
Just make sure you steam them.
Again, those were my three of my main vegetables for many years, and you guys know that I've suffered from that low thyroid,
and you've been eating them raw,
which I was diagnosed with 3 years ago, and it's since improved over a lot of things. But the one thing I didn't know, I guess I was kind of working against the grain, was still continuing to eat lots of raw broccoli, lots of raw cauliflower, and lots of raw kale.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I've stopped the kale in the last 6 months, And then just when you guys, we have been talking about it over the last month, I stopped the raw broccoli. Well, not even that long ago. You said something to me.
Yeah, I think it was last week or
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
So no raw broccoli. Because I was having lunch I was working here and she brought her lunch plate and I'm mm-hmm. looking at it and I'm thinking it's steamed broccoli and I take a piece and I'm biting it and I'm like, oh, it's raw broccoli. And I cannot even eat raw broccoli. Yeah. It's something my body right away says, no.
Yeah.
You know, raw broccoli.
You're it's just like your
yeah.
body now.
And,
yeah.
and it's like, I mean, that those were the main things in my diet.
Yeah,
raw,
all raw.
And so, remember,
and you know,
what,
working with the digestive, my digestive tract has
been
off, and so I'm beginning to heal it. And
yes, exactly.
That makes so much sense.
You know, and we do want to eat 51% of our food raw. We want
at
to eat
least
a high,
51%,
yeah,
51 to 80%.
But we don't. It doesn't mean that we necessarily. It's best for every one of us to eat everything raw. And
right.
some people can maybe do it. Maybe they can do it for a certain time in their life. You probably, you know. But for most people in today that are going to listen to this podcast, certain things you want to eat them in the cooked form because your body can uptake certain. Certain ingredients, calcium, magnesium, also the minerals, and sometimes the vitamins, especially the fat-soluble vitamins, they can just be better uptaken by your body if the stuff is, number one, cooked, and number two, if you're having a little bit of a fat. So if you're eating a raw food, completely no-fat diet, sooner or later, now if you were very sick and you do that and then you're really helping your body heal. But then if you continue that for a few years, then you're going to start noticing other ailments, other things that you didn't have before that are less than perfect health, right? So you're not going to get diabetes from that, but you know, might get brittle bones.
So what there is to remember is that each body is very different. We need to listen to our bodies. Now, if your digestive system is not working so well, which is most of the people living in the United States from the American diet that we've been eating, then you can't start with a lot of raw. You're just not going to absorb it anyway,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have the enzymes to digest the raw food.
Yeah.
So it's best to definitely start sweet steaming. You know, I would look into macrobiotic diet if you are really dealing with digestive issues. It's a good place to start because in the macrobiotic diet, you do have raw, but mostly it's a little bit of steaming, you know, getting, making the vegetable more absorbable. And
just helping your digestive system a little bit, especially if you are starting to eat healthy, like Sabine just mentioned. Because that means that already your system is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that your digestive system is weakened for one reason or another, then you're really helping it by steaming some of the greens. And you don't have to steam the salad, you know, the what you would put into a green salad. But all the other ones that have more fiber in them,
mm-hmm.
you want to steam them a little bit. Most of the kale, the broccoli.
So very simple ways of cooking these. You know, people are not thinking, what do I do with it? I can steam it, but then it's like so bland. I just recommend sautéing it, like a little
mm-hmm.
bit of olive oil or sesame oil, you know, some garlic
mm-hmm.
and onions. So
you
just
sauté
it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overdo it. So make sure it's still very, very bright green. You don't want to lose that color. You know, add some spices. And there it is. It's a beautiful side dish.
Oh, and Brussels sprouts also fall into that category. Just
mm-hmm.
you know,
which I ate a lot of, but I steam them. I never eat those raw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those fall into the brassica. So you really might want to.
But those are things you wouldn't want to eat
look
if
at
you had
overall.
Lower.
Yeah, look at overall. You know, how much am I eating of that, and can I eat? Is there something else that I can eat more of? Maybe
mm-hmm.
at least for a while until the system, the digestive system, has healed. Has
mm-hmm.
You know, recovered, and so on that note, then I guess it's also a good time to mention that when you're someone who particularly comes off of eating unhealthy or having had digestive issues, one supplement that you can help during that, or two of them actually during that transition, are enzymes, digestive enzymes, adding digestive enzymes to your diet. Before you eat your meals, like 20 minutes before, and then also having probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So with the two of them and the leafy greens
mm-hmm.
and taking out the processed foods and eating the nuts, which we've talked about two podcasts ago, and eating lots of berries, which we talked about in the last podcast, that is a really good start to really recover from all kinds of ailments. Yeah. And what's going to happen is, because your 50% of your immune system, at least, is really in your gut, all of a sudden, things that don't seem related to your gut, you know, let's say you're working on your digestive issues, and then other things are going to disappear, because as your gut heals, its immune function increases, and therefore it can do its work of healing the rest of your body.
Now, when you mentioned the digestive enzymes, I heard some people talk about like papaya tablets. Can you talk more about what are the types?
So actually, papaya seeds are good for digestion. So let's say if you don't want to take anything, you know, industrial, I guess, for better, loss of a better term, you could start with having some, you know, few papaya seeds every day. I don't know, five or six, you know, papaya seeds, especially if you have digestive. I've done that.
Did they sell that?
No, I mean, I would buy papaya. I used the papaya for eating, and then I would keep the seeds. And I would eat a few seeds. So thanks for reminding me.
Like a handful of seeds?
More like. And I was taking like between 5 to 10, because they really, when you bite them, they really have a very spicy taste. So it's kind of something like garlic. You know, you want to eat some garlic, but you know you don't want to eat a whole thing of garlic. That's not good. That's overdosing in a way, right? You're not
like
going to die from it. But
did you eat a clove?
Yeah.
Yes, of
course. I guess. Especially if it's
roasted.
Roasted, yeah. But
so when you said papaya, I know most of the papayas out there are GMO papayas.
Yeah, don't get the Hawaiian ones.
You want to make sure that it's an organic, natural papaya, which makes me also think we didn't even tell people that all the greens you eat must be organic.
Yeah,
or from the farmer's market. The point is not
you know, pesticide free. Because greens, you know, they absorb these pesticides so beautifully, and then you ingest them, and so then you have to deal with all the toxins in your body. Then you have to eat more greens to get rid of the toxins, and just it's just a vicious cycle. So just start.
No wonder people say they don't feel good after eating their greens if they're eating all the pesticides.
Sometimes, they're eating it very raw and it's full of pesticides. So you think you're doing something great, but you're actually not.
Still better than eating, you know, some processed muffin.
Yeah.
In any case. So we always have to remember that, you know, if you are at a point where you have to make choices, at any point in time, you make the best choice possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So if you don't have that available, make sure you really wash your greens. Now, they're also soaking things up, but you also want to really wash them really good if you don't know exactly where they're coming from.
You
or
can
maybe
use a
sometimes
veggie
you
wash.
Don't have a choice. Sometimes you don't have a choice. And so then what I noticed is that people then tend to go back to eating completely processed foods because, well, I couldn't find some organic greens, so I ate the frozen dinner. And of course, that's not the point here. The point is you always want to make the best choice that is closer to the original, you know, state of the food than the other choices that you have.
Right.
Make sense?
Totally. And before I forget, I want to talk about cabbage.
Yes.
Because cabbage is not a green leafy vegetable.
It's still
leafy, but it is so filled with incredible nutrients. Mm-hmm. It has amazing cleansing effects. It has been known when used, it rids you of cysts and growths in your body. And so another amazing way besides, you know, just eating the cabbage chopped, you know, shredding it really well and adding, you know, lemon juice and olive oil and massaging it, eating that as a salad, making sauerkraut with it. I'm not going to get into it today, though, because I think we should have a whole segment on fermented food.
Sounds great.
So just wanted to bring
up
that cabbage.
They're also kind of a superfood.
Yeah.
So cabbage, definitely good to eat. And also, you know, you mentioned before, but also the bok choy and the Chinese cabbage, Savoy cabbage. So there are different greens out there. And there are also greens out there that we didn't mention today, just because word that's not coming to mind right now, but just go to a farmer's market mm-hmm. in the summer particularly and look at all the different green things. Ask the farmer, hey, how do I do this? What's this for? And then just take it home and start eating it. Arugula, yeah. for instance, is one of the salads. Right. It grows in my backyard. That's one. That's right. more of a salad ingredient. That
or dandelion that greens.
Exactly, dandelion.
Or dandelions.
Yeah, I don't know. those types of things. Even you know, nettle. It doesn't grow everywhere. And there's another one. I'm thinking of it. Lamb's quarters. Lamb's quarters. It sounds like an animal, but it's just a leafy green. And it has a lot of protein as well. So just before we close, because we're done here within the next minute or so, greens do contain protein. Okay, so when you're thinking about a cow or an elephant or some type of animal like that, they only eat greens.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If there wasn't a way for the greens to produce or to help the body produce, you know, muscle mass, then these animals wouldn't have any muscles. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so if
great point,
right? Yeah. So greens do contain different amino acids, mm-hmm. and our body mm-hmm. is equipped to use different types of amino acids to put them together and to create the proteins that we that we live from. Yeah, I just wanted to make that point because we hadn't made it yet, and people are always wondering.
Can I survive on greens?
Can I survive on greens?
Or am I, you know.
Yeah, and if you had to, you probably really could. We're not saying that that's what you need to do right now, but we're just throwing that out there. All in all, it's totally okay to eat a lot more greens and a lot less meat. Okay, so with that, this was it for this week. It was in podcast number 16. We hope to have you listen in again next week. We'll decide. Maybe it'll be fermented foods next week. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks from now. I don't know. You're just going to have to come back and listen in. And so it's goodbye. Have a wonderful week from all of us, from myself, from
Sabine,
and from Christina
Sergun.
Bye.
Bye.